Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? We welcome you into the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. James Go here with you, joined alongside by the whiz kid from Wisconsin, Alex Gelhar. What's cracking?
Feeling a lot better about this Monday than I was an hour and a half ago when we were starting this podcast.
Yeah.
Or an hour ago, rather.
Or an hour ago. All right.
We had some technical difficulties.
We did.
We had to reset the machine.
Some tech difficulties.
Simulation.
Sure. We've got not Alfred Marsh. We've got Matt Franchise.
No way we can recapture that.
No, we can't. But
dang,
it is.
Well, you know, I'm still gonna say it.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
What up?
Hey, what's going on, pal?
What up?
You feeling good?
We were making fun of the way Al Michaels says Alfred Morris.
Marsh.
Maris.
Okay, got
it's
it.
It's so exhausting.
Can I ask you one question? Why do you have your collar flipped up, though?
I'm cold. Okay,
but that doesn't help you.
Yeah, what?
What are you talking about?
But the way he has it doesn't help.
It's a flannel shirt, and it's keeping the warmth around my neck. Okay,
right, fair enough.
Why must I be judged? Can I not be comfortable while we record?
You're under attack.
You can't stop attacking me.
It doesn't make any sense. I mean, how cold can it be in here? It's not cold at all, man. The rest of us are.
I'm cold, James. Okay. You can't control my body temperature. Speak for yourself. I feel attacked.
All right,
I'm leaving.
No, you're not.
Bye.
Okay. We have the wide receiver prognosticator, the pride of West Virginia. We have Matt Harmon. What's going on?
What's up, man?
How you doing, pal?
I'm doing good.
Okay,
this
good.
It's good to be here. It's good to be talking into the mics again.
Yes.
I feel like we've been here for 30
this
days.
This is quite the contrast to the first intro we recorded.
Yes. It's unfortunate that's lost.
Producer
it's
Chris all right, that's all right. In the building. What's cracking, pal?
I'm exhausted.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're all back here like, oh, man, what an experience.
We were
just screwing around. Chris is doing real work behind the glass, as per usual.
Half of NFL media is crowded into that place behind the behind the glass with Chris trying to figure
this
out what's
Chris behind the glass.
What's up, guys?
The real MVP.
Kicking it with my engineer crew, but I think we got it working now.
Good.
And not only that, we had like shadowy league figures in the building.
Decisions were potentially being made.
Trying to figure stuff out.
Yes.
So it was insane. We have a big time show in front of us here today. We're going to be talking about every damn game. We're going to be giving you your top performers. We will give you your biggest disappointments. We'll talk about a fellow by the name of Ricky Seals-Jones. What?
We will.
We'll talk about him.
Do we have to?
We're
going to
talk about Shady McCoy. We'll talk about Keenan Allen emerging there against Buffalo. But we shall start your show, as we always do, with your top headlines.
News.
Breaking news.
We'll start in Dallas. Dallas has scored exactly one touchdown. Just one over their last two games. In that time span, Dak Prescott, 5 turnovers as well. No Tyron Smith. No Zeke Elliott. How worried are we about the Cowboys' offense? We'll start with you, Matt Harmon.
Yeah, so I think, obviously, you know, I tweeted this last night that it's fair to be all three of these things. Both a big Dak Prescott supporter, two, really disappointed by the way the last two games have gone, and three, not feel like that this defines him, you know, for the rest of his career, because we're definitely seeing takes out there like, well, obviously Dak now is a fraud. He's a product of blah, 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 blah. And
Dak is a fraud.
It's just insane how quickly we react. And
so
our buddy Josh Norris from Roto World, he has a phrase about the NFL scouting combine, just don't count it twice. It's like, so what that means is if you think a college prospect is going to come into the combine as a big athlete, or you're like, this is a real athletic guy, and then he goes to the scouting combine and he kills it,
right?
You don't then like add another point for athleticism. Like, he does exactly what you think. And I think that's what happened last night with the Cowboys against the Eagles. I think a lot of people expected them to get whooped by a superior team.
Okay.
They got whooped by a superior team pretty much in the exact way that we would have thought.
Fair enough. But from a fantasy standpoint, Alex Gelhar, I mean, again, moving forward, they've got the Chargers, they've got the Redskins, they've got the Giants over their next three games. From a fantasy standpoint, what do we think of Dak Prescott?
I mean, I think if you have him, it's okay to start looking for other options. Jacoby Brissett's coming out of his bye, assuming he's clear from concussion protocol, gets a home matchup against the Titans. That's a good one. But the big issue with Dak right now is that, you know, the Cowboys are not only just missing, you know, Ezekiel Elliott and Tyron Smith, but those are two of their, like, four best players. And it's exposing some holes in the roster. And Dak is struggling. He's getting pressured a lot. And the Chargers have one of the best pass rushes in the league. The Redskins have an underrated pass rush. So it's going to be tough to trust him after two games. Like, it's not time to panic, but you want to look for other options. He still has the talent to transcend these bad matchups and get some rushing scores and make some crazy throws. But I definitely think, especially with the fantasy playoffs looming, you want to potentially set yourself up for a better spot.
I mean, the bottom line is when you are missing your top offensive lineman and he plays left tackle and mm-hmm. you're missing your top running back, arguably your best offensive player in Ezekiel Elliott, it's just and you're missing your one of your best defenders in Sean Lee as well. That's a lot to overcome, man. That is a lot to overcome.
Yeah, it's not just like the Cowboys are missing their left tackle. Like, they're missing probably the best left tackle in the NFL, at least up there with Joe Thomas. And that just changes the way you dole out protections. It changes the way you call plays. And unfortunately, I think also talking about getting exposed, I think the Dallas coaching staff has been completely exposed by not being able to adjust to these changes.
All right, so Frances, let me ask you about Dez Bryant moving forward here. Again, those three matchups, the Chargers, the Washington Redskins, the New York Football Giants. Dez Bryant in week 11? We're in week 11? Yes, week 11. 14 targets, 63 yards. What do you think about Dez moving forward?
I'm a little worried about Dez, I'll be honest. You know, he was drafted as like a first round, maybe second round wide receiver. His ceiling in a standard league this year has been about 12 points. He hasn't scored a touchdown since week 6. And I think he had like 11 points in that game, and that was against San Francisco, which is an easy matchup for wide receiver. So I'm worried about it. He's getting the volume, like you said, 14 targets yesterday, but
ton.
As Harmon was saying earlier, the efficiency hasn't been there. And with the Dallas offense kind of struggling, like, I'm worried down the stretch about Dez.
Just with the target volume, though, I mean, you got to feel pretty good about just the overall floor. No, yeah. Especially in PPR, right?
Sure.
Like, you know,
sure.
You're going to get, you know, anywhere between 60 to 80 yards. You're going to get 5 to 10 receptions somewhere in that ballpark. And so I guess from a safety standpoint, you feel pretty good. But again, just one touchdown over the last two games.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's going to be seeing elite pass rushers there against Dak Prescott is against the Chargers. Do they do it again? I don't know, man. There's a lot of concern, certainly, surrounding the Cowboys' offense. Let me stay with you, Franch, and let's talk about Alfred Maris.
Maris.
18 carries. 18 carries, 93 yards.
Alfred Maris.
Unbelievable.
I think Maris has been pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's a good sign that Morris has had double-digit carries in each of the last two games, given that Dallas has been blown out pretty much in each of the last two games.
And that's the thing, right?
Right. So, you know, the volume's there. If they're actually winning in the second half of a game, you know, you can expect 20, 25, maybe 25 touches.
Yeah.
And he had over 90 yards yesterday, 5.4 yards per carry. He had 4.8 yards per carry in week 10 against Atlanta.
Pretty good.
He's not playing badly.
No,
he's just kind of struggling right along as his offense struggles. So he's a high volume guy. You're gonna flex him every week, and you know, hope he gets that volume.
The Cowboys play the Chargers, Washington, Giants, Raiders, and Seahawks the rest of the fantasy season. And I mean, other than the Chargers, I think those are all really beatable defenses
on the ground. You're saying
all of these Dallas players.
Oh,
I
okay.
think, you know, I mean, even for the passing game,
I think if Washington gets healthier, I think they've been doing, you know, I think they've been much improved this year. And the Giants, as we've seen, up and down defense.
Yeah.
It's an up and down you don't know what to expect.
I don't trust them. I think the game yesterday, I think, had a lot to do with the weather. I think it had a lot to do with the Chiefs outsmarting themselves. I don't think – and Janoris Jenkins, credit to him, you know, everybody's saying he quit, and he definitely was. He looked like he was,
I know.
But he played a really good game
yesterday.
All right,
let's talk about Buffalo very quickly. We mentioned, you know, the Chargers there. They absolutely dismantled the Buffalo Bills. Nathan Peterman just imploded in his debut.
Shocking.
I mean, I don't think him a fifth-round rookie – struggling against an elite pass rush was
on a
shocking.
Cross-country road trip.
I know, sir. It was not that shocking, but the way he did it, 5 interceptions in one half, that was surprising.
It was beautifully bad.
It was beautifully bad. I don't even know if it was beautiful. It was just it was awesomely bad.
Like, it was impressive.
It was impressively bad. 5 picks, one half.
He could have had more, too.
Yeah, he could have. Oh, absolutely. You know, and this is another thing, too. Why didn't the coaching staff protect him a little bit? I mean, they were running the ball pretty well.
I don't think they could protect him from himself. I think watching.
No, but give him like the Mitch Trubisky treatment. Give him the treatment they're giving Blake Bortles there in Jacksonville.
They tried. He had like 3 picks on 4 pass attempts.
Yeah, it was just
true.
Yeah, they couldn't do anything about it.
Like, what are you supposed to do? Not have him throw ever?
And I think like the first pick was probably the one that was like the least his fault.
Oh, it wasn't his fault. Yeah, at all. Yeah, went through the hands of his receiver.
But nevertheless, like I think once that happened, I think a little bit of like oh no started to set in with him.
Yeah.
And then like I said, like you just put the three picks on four pass attempts. Give me a break.
It's craziness. Tyrod came in, actually put in good numbers. You gave me a crazy stat yesterday, Franch.
What's that?
In regards to Tyrod Taylor's numbers.
He had like 17 fantasy points, and Peterman had -6.9.
But the fact that he was, a streamable quarterback, Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, he was like,
you're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
How is Tyrod Taylor? He wasn't even supposed to play. He was a streamable quarterback.
He was the QB10 at the end of Sunday with 18.12 points. He had a rushing touchdown, a passing touchdown. He did lose a fumble. 158 pass yards, 38 rush yards, and that's what you get from Tyrod.
And shout out to our own James Coe here for the greatest fantasy call of all time.
This is
incredible.
If you
go to NFL.com/bold predictions, the article that comes out every Friday, you will see James Coe in his bold prediction for Week 11. Tyrod Taylor outscores Nathan Peterman in Week 11.
And the craziest part about that, too, was I was talking about how he was going to have four interceptions or four turnovers.
You said four turnovers
and
no
negative
touchdowns.
Points.
And that's
– you nailed it.
You actually were a little too generous.
I was
too
generous. I was too generous. And I was telling you guys yesterday, I actually thought about saying five turnovers, but I was like, who the hell has five turnovers?
He's not going to go full Jake DeLome, is he?
Five turnovers? I mean,
James, can I just say that I also outscored Nathan Peterman?
You did.
Should have started you over him.
James, I also outscored Nathan Peterman.
In fact, within this one bold prediction, you hit on several other bold predictions. Let's look at the levels in this.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Said Tyrod's going to outscore him.
Yes, which he did. Nathan Peterman's going to go negative.
That happened.
Okay.
Four turnovers. He had five. Yes. No touchdowns. Puts up a negative number. Yes. That happened.
Okay.
Fails so spectacularly, the coaching staff goes with Tyrod as the reliever.
Boom.
That happened.
Okay.
Maybe LeSean McCoy goes so insano on the ground.
Yeah.
That happened.
That happened as well.
Wow. And Tyrod comes in for mop-up duty.
Boom.
I mean.
I forgot about the whole LeSean McCoy aspect.
He was the RB1.
Unreal.
You called it all.
I don't know how I did that. That's just insane. But yes, it was.
Can't trust this guy.
No, you cannot. Don't trust me at all. Buffalo again got shredded defensively, though. They've got KC, they've got New England, and they've got the Colts coming up in their next three games. Do we feel a little bit?
God,
I know. Do we feel better about? Oh my God, they're gonna just destroy these guys. But what about KC though? Because they've been up and down, but now they come in and they take on a Buffalo team. It feels like this is gonna be a get right game for KC.
Yeah,
felt like this week was going to be a get right game for KC. So it's fair to say that I really do think that. Hopefully the Chiefs can just get back on track of like doing what they're doing. I mean, for God's sake, they had in a game with high wind where it's like passing is always brought down production wise in the wind. They had freaking Travis Kelce throwing a vertical pass down the field. Like, come on, Andy, what are you doing?
That was weird.
Very strange.
Shane Vereen also threw a pass in that game. That was a pick.
Oh, that's right.
That's crazy. Was that before the Kelce throw? Because
I think it was.
No, no, yeah. It was like in the first.
So
quarter.
I guess Andy was just like, "Oh, cute Ben. I'll have my tight end.
Yeah, I'll one up you.
You're gonna have you're gonna have a running back throw. Okay, hold my beer. Here we go.
But I do think it should be a nice get right spot for Kansas City.
By the way, Kelvin Benjamin left that game on a cart, right knee injury, MRI on Monday. I haven't seen an update yet on Kelvin Benjamin as of this recording, but again, MRI on his knee. He did leave on a cart, although he left the game reportedly just heavily bandaged. I don't believe they said he had crutches or anything, so reason for optimism there. All right, Chris Thompson, no optimism here. Chris Thompson, broken fibula, gone for the season. P. Ryan, the unquestioned starter now because Rob Kelly, remember, also put on IR. Let's get some projections around the horn here for Samaje Perine. But first, let me just say, Chris Thompson was putting in an incredible season. An incredible season. I mean, he was a top 10 running back in standard scoring leagues.
Yeah.
And everyone says, it's funny, too. I'd get these questions. And anytime you get fantasy questions on Twitter, other people are quick to jump in as well. But it's always the analysis is always, well, Chris Thompson, if it's PPR. Guys, this guy had been a top 10 running back in standard scoring league. So you can get the PPR all the way the hell out of here. He was just a great running back, period.
He even got you a touchdown yesterday before he got injured
indeed.
If you started him.
Indeed, indeed. P. Ryan in relief, 23 carries, 117 yards, a touchdown in that game. But, WizKid, we'll start with you. Your thoughts on Samaje P. Ryan moving forward.
I mean, he's going to, by default, be a weekly play. I mean, it's the Orleans Darkwa situation, too. He's going to get volume. He's going to be the lead back, but he's going to be in a way better offense than Darkwa is.
Yeah,
Darkwa's been producing average totals for fantasy owners, but I think you just basically are going to have to set P. Ryan in and forget about it because we're at a point in the fantasy season right now where, like I said, Darkwa's an every-week starter. People are having to start like Kenyon Drake and Damian Williams and banking on a big play or a touchdown. We're starting all three of the Patriots backs and just praying they get into the end zone too.
True.
Like, P. Ryan is going to be a locked-in RB2. There's no question.
All right. In Houston, Deontay Foreman, just an absolutely brutal injury for him. Biggest game of his rookie year, no question. 65 yards, rushing yards on 10 carries. He had two touchdowns, and on the second touchdown, torn Achilles, gone for the season.
It was terrible.
I feel bad. I feel bad for Deontay Foreman. He had come a long way. Best game of his rookie campaign, now gone for the season. We wish him the best. All right. I want to ask you guys, concern level for Kareem Hunt. 18 carries, 73 yards against the New York Football Giants, 3 receptions, just 4 yards in the pass game. 7th consecutive week without a touchdown. 3rd consecutive game in single digits in standard scoring leagues. A 68% snap share versus a 27% snap share for Charcandrick West, which, by the way, I looked through the games. That's a little bit less than what he had been doing in the first 4 weeks of the season, but that snap share is about in line with what we saw. But, again, it's not like he is just the overwhelming dominant starter here for KC in that backfield. So I'll ask you guys, and we'll start with you, Franchise, level of concern for Kareem Hunt.
It's getting up there. This was supposed to be a good bounce back game for him against a Giants offense or defense that had struggled to stop the run.
Right.
And then Kareem Hunt gets 4 carries in the first half.
Right.
Yeah.
4 carries, and he had 1 yard, 7, 7, and 5 yards. It's not like he was inefficient, and then he had 2 catches there in the first half too. But you can't be giving your feature back 4 first half carries and expect to get fantasy points out of him. I don't know what Andy Reid was doing.
You know, Matt Harmon, I'm concerned mostly because we saw Charcandrick West in the hurry up style offenses. You know, and that is where running backs, if you're that feature guy, you get those cheap points, you love that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we're not getting that from Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, it's quite worrisome, but I mean, this is what it's kind of been all year with Kareem Hunt. He gets, you know, a handful of catches. I mean, he has 4, 3, 4, and 3 over the last 4 games. But they don't want to put him out there because he can't pass protect. They trust Charcandrick West more. You know, they don't want to have Alex Smith getting blown up on a blitz or something that Kareem Hunt doesn't pick up or he doesn't stand in there for. And so the passing game usage is a bit of a concern. And the bigger concern is the lack of scoring chances for him. Graham Barfield from Fantasy Guru tweeted out that only 29% of Kareem Hunt's total carries have originated inside the opponent's 5-yard line this season.
That seems like an unbelievable number.
5th fewest this season. The only players with less are Doug Martin, Alex Collins, Frank Gore, and Jay Ajayi.
The thing is, like, yeah, we can be concerned, but what are we going to go to otherwise?
Nothing.
Like, you can't sit him. You're not going to drop him. Trade deadlines are passed, or in NFL.com leagues are coming up, like, in a few days. So, it stinks, but you just got to ride or die with him.
If you can buy him, I think it's worth doing. I mean, they get the Bills next,
then
the Jets, and then the Raiders.
We'd definitely be worried if he doesn't do anything against the Bills.
Yeah, well, then, I mean, you just
– but still.
Yeah. All right, there you go. Jared Goff played well coming into Week 11, but then took on the Minnesota Vikings, 23 of 37, okay, but 225 through the air, 0 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. From a fantasy standpoint, not great, obviously, Jared Goff. I think he was starting to get into that territory where you might have considered him an every week starter just because of the ballistic points that he was putting up.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe he's just not that guy. Maybe in bad spots, he's a terrific start.
Yeah.
And versus good defenses, maybe not so much. Maybe it's something in between. I don't know. I'd love to get the temperature in the room regarding Jared Goff.
That's right where he is. But we also have to remember, like, this game was one of those ones where a couple plays like went the wrong way for him that really diminished his scoring chances. Like, Cooper Kupp had the fumble on the one-yard line.
That's right.
So that took away a potential red zone touchdown for him. Kupp also had the drop on like a wide open play that would have taken them into the red zone, giving them another scoring chance. And they're playing a great defense. So like,
yeah, they were.
When you lose those couple close plays like that against a great defense, it kind of ruins your day. You can't make mistakes like that. But I think you're right, James. Like, he's a definite must start against bad defenses. But in spots like this, he's more of a low end starter. Like, if there is a better option available to stream, go get it.
Yeah, okay. They get the Saints in LA next week. Then they go.
Is that a good or bad matchup?
I think that's good enough for him to be in streaming consideration.
Yeah.
Especially because the Saints should put up points, then they should likely put up points as well, too. So I think that's fine. Then they're in Arizona the week after that. I think that is a good matchup.
That's a terrific matchup.
Eagles in L.A., probably not that great of a matchup,
right.
But it is at home. Then in Seattle, we'll see what we think about the Seahawks defense at that point.
Right.
And then week 16 in Tennessee, and that is definitely a good matchup. I think with any of these quarterbacks, like, outside of the top few guys, and I don't even know who the hell that is at this point.
Okay.
Like
Brady and Wentz and Russ.
And other than those guys, like, just don't get attached to any of these options. like 3 weeks ago, okay. Dak Prescott would have been that one of those guys
100%.
Too. Unfortunately, things have changed. So yeah. I just think people want to really get attached and embrace like one quarterback or one defense, but it's just proven time and time again,
yeah.
the most optimal approach for these positions is just to stream them and cycle guys in and week out.
Can I just say, this is going to be like self props for myself, but
that's
really
shocking.
Yeah, I know. Look, pal, I'm not Matt Harmon.
Yeah, you're one to one, talk. Jesus.
Co gets one bold prediction right, and all of a sudden.
No, but I have really enjoyed these leagues that we're doing for our work leagues in regards to the 6-4 scoring for quarterbacks.
Oh, it's made it a lot more interesting.
It's made it so much more interesting, and it's so much more difficult to stream quarterbacks too, though. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, yeah, maybe you throw a Blaine Gabbert out there, and yeah, he had a great game, but you know that you're probably going to get some picks. You know what I mean? So the 6-4 scoring thing for me has been a lot of fun, even though I've been on the bad end of many poor quarterback performances, but it's been fun. So
Kirk Cousins is probably another weekly starting option.
He's been great.
Yeah.
I say that just because I have him in that fantasy live league.
He's probably right. He's probably the last line of defense in the
every week starters.
And then after that, it's just cycling through.
Yeah. Right. All right, let's hit the waiver wire. Alex Gellhaar writes a terrific piece every single week.
You can find it
NFL.com/waiver wire. Alex Gellhaar, walk me through two or three names.
Well, a few of the guys we haven't mentioned, obviously, P. Ryan's obviously a top guy to add. But what we should consider, too, is Alex Collins is available in a lot of leagues. And while Danny Woodhead's coming back, Collins actually played 63% of the snaps.
He saw a
ton of touches. The final stat line doesn't speak to how well he played either. The Packers' run defense has kind of been sneakily good the last few weeks. They shut down Jordan Howard 2 weeks ago. They held him in check, but he ran really, really well. So he's a guy that, I mean, again, with these running back situations, gone are the days of the featured backs.
Right.
You want to try and get volume or guys that are going to get high upside touches. So he's in the mix, Damian Williams. Devontae Booker is a name to circle because he's starting to carve out a bigger workload in the Denver offense.
Interesting.
The trouble is they don't have a great offensive line. Their offense in general is pretty bad. But Booker is getting some work as a pass catcher, too. I think he should certainly be on the radar.
Okay.
Josh Doctson is I really think the breakout game for him is coming in the next couple of weeks.
Dude.
Because it's getting to the point, I know you tweeted this, Harmon, but it was just obvious watching that game, too. Kirk Cousins is getting to the point where he's like, Josh Doctson's covered? Nah, he's open.
Yeah.
And he just throws it at him because that's the skill set he
had at
TCU where he would be covered, and he's got such great aerial abilities and such a big frame and long arms that, like, he's covered, and he's just like, nah, he jumps over the guy and grabs it. So
I feel like it works well with Kirk Cousins' skill set, too. I mean, Kirk Cousins doesn't have the biggest arm in the whole world, so him trying to, like, lob a deep pass over the top is kind of difficult for him. So, like, the Josh Doctson plays that he's making, though, it's perfect for him.
He's
underthrowing it, and he's putting enough air under it where Doctson can make a play.
Yeah.
And it's looking pretty good.
And the reason why now's the time to get him is he has two favorable matchups coming up against the Giants and Cowboys.
Yep.
He has a tougher stretch then where he has the Chargers, Cardinals, and Broncos. But as I wrote in the column, like, if he has this big blow-up game and Kirk Cousins is like, this is my guy, the matchups aren't going to matter with Josh Doctson because he's
good
just going to be able to get through them.
I love it.
And then real quick, as a streaming quarterback option, I mentioned Jacoby Brissett in this version of the podcast.
I forget
if I did because I think I mentioned him in the earlier editions.
Right.
But playing the Titans next week, coming out of his bye at home, it should be a good spot for Jake Brissett.
All right. Jake Brissett not going to be going to the Pro Bowl, but if you'd like to vote for your players to get into the Pro Bowl, this is how you do it. The 2018 Pro Bowl. The vote is here. It's time to vote for your favorite players for the 2018 Pro Bowl in Orlando. Who do you want to see? Bruce Ellington, let's get him in there. Help your favorite players earn a coveted spot on the Pro Bowl roster. Who will you pick? Vote today. Go to the website, NFL.com/Pro Bowl vote.
Who would you guys pick? Let's all throw out one Pro Bowl player.
Bruce Ellington.
Legitimate.
Sorry, did I stutter?
I would, just because I get tired of people railing on Kirk Cousins for no reason, I would vote for him in. Although I don't think he's the best NFC quarterback.
Adam Thielen.
I was going to pick Adam Thielen.
Adam Thielen, for
how
sure.
dare you?
Yeah,
for
sure. I mean, I love Stephon Diggs, but he's been...
their most reliable receiver, no doubt.
Yeah.
Oh, you know who I would vote for? Mr. On Pace himself, Mark Ingram.
That was going to be
call.
My guy.
Great
call.
Him
and Alvin Kamara.
I was going to say, would you guys vote both of them in?
Yes.
I think you can.
I think I would.
They're backfield dominating.
I didn't see a response, but Chris Wessling tweeted at NFL Research, the two of them are on pace for over 3,000 scrimmage yards.
No.
Which I don't know if that's ever happened for a running back duo.
There's no way that's ever happened.
3,000 is an astronomical number for just two players.
It's crazy.
Get out of here.
The thing is, you're not getting in. How many backs
Ingram?
Can you send to the pro? Well, you can send one, two, three, whatever, but Gurley has to get a spot.
Oh, yeah. All right, French, who would you pick?
All right, fair enough.
I was going to say Ingram.
Sorry. Yeah, we have a chain of stealing players here. So vote for Kareem Hunt.
Maybe DeAndre Hopkins.
Let's go. Nuke Hopkins deserves a spot, no doubt.
Yeah, he does.
I just feel so bad for Nuke.
I know,
man.
He's produced all these years with these trash heap of quarterbacks. He finally gets Deshaun Watson.
I know. See ya.
Blowing – like the roof off of stadiums, and then Watson gets hurt, and now Nuke is still producing, and it's just like, can we get this man some help,
seriously,
please?
Jordan Howard deserves some consideration when we're talking about.
He does.
I mean, he's second in the NFL in carries. By the way, he's second in the NFL in carries with 192.
Yeah.
First is Le'Veon Bell with 232.
He had 30 touches a game.
He had like a 4-week stretch where he averaged 35 touches a game.
He also has 49 catches. I mean,
that's amazing.
That's it. This is a whole side tangent, but do you guys think like that Pittsburgh is just like 2015 DeMarco Murraying or 2014 DeMarco Murraying?
They could be.
They're just running the hell out of him into the ground, and then
that'd be a weird thing to do, man.
We saw Dallas
He's
do it.
So yeah, but
good.
DeMarco Murray was a product. I don't want to say a product of the offensive line, but I think Dallas trusted their offensive line more than they trusted DeMarco Murray, and they thought, okay, well, we'll just get whoever we can to come in. I don't think Pittsburgh's that way.
I don't think so either. But I wonder if they just think he's a running back,
and they also know they're
going
to have to pay him out.
Yeah.
A ton of money.
He wants a lot of money.
Yeah, he does.
And they probably don't want to give
it. What was his quote? I want to get paid like a number two wide receiver and a number one running back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wants like 20 million.
All right, bro. Just calm down. Okay.
He's averaging 3.8 yards per carry, too.
When you have 200 and how many carries.
Yeah. I don't think that means he's like lost a step or anything, but I just think that they'll look at it as
They'll look at the numbers.
They'll look at the numbers.
They will look at those damn numbers.
He doesn't have any receiving touchdowns.
NFL.com/Pro Bowl vote for you to get your votes in. All right, let's talk about top performers at the quarterback position. Oh, look at this right there. Right at the top, Big Ben, speaking of Pittsburgh, versus Tennessee, 299, 4 touchdowns. Kirk Cousins, great game, versus New Orleans, 322 and 3 touchdowns for him. Tom Brady, predictably in an easy spot against Oakland, put up a big line, 339 through the air, 3 touchdowns for him. Drew Brees, counterpart to Kirk Cousins, 385 and 2 touchdowns. Alex Skelhar's tilting over there.
Well, because I was playing Fabs in the Toilet Bowl in the Fantasy Live League, and I was sitting pretty with like
you
2
were.
Minutes to go in the early games. Like, this is great. And then
100%.
Fabs had Breeze and Kamara.
Yeah.
So he ripped off that huge drive where Breeze got like over 100 plus of his yards in like the last few minutes to come back. Kenny Stills caught a deep touchdown. I was just like, I'm getting smashed in that league now. Unless somehow Jimmy Graham and Doug Baldwin combined for about 90 points tonight.
You need to basically double the total.
Yeah.
Well, I said on Thursday's podcast that whoever lost this game would have to quit. So,
it's been
a pleasure working
with
you.
Here's your pink slip, buddy.
Can we talk about Big Ben, though? I'd love to. I know we're getting right down to the trade deadline, and a lot of trade deadlines have already passed. But, three of the next four games are at home.
Nope.
They've got Green Bay, Cincinnati, Baltimore, New England.
And I'm saying no because nobody's trading for quarterbacks.
I was just going to say, if anything, you're selling him and you're not trading for him.
No, but I don't think anybody's going to buy him from you.
Also, if you can.
He's got a great spot against Green Bay. The Cincinnati and Baltimore games have classic AFC North 15-18 written all over them.
I agree.
And Patriots defense is tightened up. Week 16, he's going to smash against the Texans, though, because their defense sucks.
Yes.
Well, there you go. All right, at the wide receiver position, Antonio Brown, 10 receptions, 144, 3 touchdowns. He was just incredible.
Do we
in that
think Juju's hurting his ceiling, though?
Oh, yeah,
he definitely
had to, troll you a little bit.
He definitely is.
Those are always, you always have to laugh at those when you like bring up a topic like that,
and then
it goes
just
the
literally the next week.
Complete opposite.
Mere days after you brought it up.
Whoa. It's crazy. Although I will say though, Juju did get a couple deep balls thrown his way.
Yeah, I don't think Juju, like, I didn't come out of that game thinking any less of Juju as a fantasy prospect.
No, not at all. Keenan Allen, breakout game, big time versus Buffalo. 13 targets, 12 receptions on 13 targets, 159 through the air and 2 touchdowns. My goodness.
Well,
that came out
of your team gets 5 turnovers in the first half.
Yeah, but still though, 12 receptions, 159 and 2. I mean,
I think both touchdowns were in the first half. He was done like in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, he was.
That was incredible.
That game really like was the definition of came out of nowhere. And I don't know. Maybe Chris can speak to this more than I can. But he came into that over the three previous games. He had 7, 5, and 7
targets.
And he blows up for 13. Scores 2 touchdowns. He hadn't scored since week 1.
Right.
It just seemed like his role was kind of being, you know, decreased a little. But this goes to show you, like, I think this was one of the like things happen sometimes. And Keenan goes through a slow stretch. And now he's back to producing big numbers.
Again. I do love it. Kenny Stills versus Tampa Bay. Kenny Stills, ladies and gentlemen, 7 receptions on 8 targets for 180 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, man.
Wow. Brandon Cooks versus Oakland, 6 receptions, 149 and a touch. Adam Thielen against the Rams, he had 6 catches on 9 targets and 123 yards and a touchdown as well. At the running back position, Shady McCoy, 13 attempts, 114, 2 total touchdowns. Good game for Shady McCoy in a horrible spot. I mean, how do you just get blown out like that but still put up a great stat line? I don't know. Latavius Murray versus the Rams, 15 attempts, 95 yards, 2 touchdowns for him. And Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara, man. I mean, what can you say? 14 total touches for Mark Ingram, 155 and a touch. Alvin Kamara, 42 rush yards, 74 receiving yards, a touchdown, and a 2-point conversion as well.
That
both
duo is just
were
awesome.
Awesome.
I tweeted out the last 2 games, Ingram and Kamara have combined for 540 scrimmage yards and 6 touchdowns.
I mean, what? That's
it's outrageous.
In the last 2 games.
For just 2 running backs.
In Same.
Yeah, man.
At the tight end position, this is awesome. Ricky Seals-Jones is your tight end 1.
God. Converted wide receiver.
Converted
wide too big and slow to play wide receiver.
Yes.
Played 8 snaps, right, Franchise?
8 snaps.
Played 8 snaps.
1 career target.
That's great. 54 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns for Ricky Seals-Jones. I had heard a rumor that he was not available on the NFL.com game.
He is now.
That's amazing. Yeah, O.J. Howard versus Miami, 52 receiving yards and a touch. Travis Kelce, 109 receiving yards, did not get that touchdown.
Touchdown streak
but
broke.
He threw an interception. Oh, man.
That's my biggest disappointment this week is that that touchdown streak ended.
I agree.
That was so
100%.
Fun. I wanted it to go every week.
What if he threw a touchdown pass? Would we have counted it
as
tight end touchdown?
I would have counted it. I would have counted it.
I think you have to.
Nah.
No.
Yeah, I think you have
to. It's a touchdown. It's a tight end touchdown.
Yes.
Sorry. You're being too literal.
The no fun czar over here.
Yeah.
You're
being too literal.
All right, whatever. Kobe Fleener cracked into the top 10 as well. He had 5 catches for 91 yards.
Yeah, ignore it.
Yeah,
who cares?
Let's
exactly.
Move on.
I think that doesn't matter.
biggest.
We just barely even played.
It was just immediate, like, nah, get out of here.
Well, like, I want to keep the podcast moving. I don't want to. We're already devoting too much time to Kobe Fleener. What is happening?
Biggest disappointments at the quarterback position: Alex Smith against the Giants, 230 through the air, 0 touchdowns, 2 interceptions.
Cool.
We talked about Jared Goff, 225 through the air, 0 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. I'll ask you this: is Alex Smith done as an every week guy, because I got to be honest with you. I think if we had this conversation 2 weeks ago, I don't think anybody's thinking, no, you got to play Alex Smith. I mean, he has been amazing in fantasy. I just wonder now, is he done as an every week starter?
He's done.
He's done.
I would say in like the philosophy point of what we were saying earlier, that you don't want to get attached to anybody but the outside the top guys. In that sense, yes, he is done. But his schedule coming up of the Bills, Jets, the Raiders of the next 3 weeks.
Fire him up.
And then the Chargers is a little bit of a tougher spot in week 15. But then the Dolphins in week 16. Hello. I mean, look.
Hold on to him. That's good.
I think
that's
you
a
hold
real
on,
good run.
Yeah, yeah, I think you hold on to him. Great. And you probably play him in the majority of those games.
Great, sure. great. I like it. Running back position disappointments. Doug Martin versus Miami, 19 carries, 38 yards.
I know he's the talking point, but just,
I don't know.
We'll talk about it.
Isaiah Crowell versus Jacksonville, 11 carries, 18 yards. And this was the funny thing. We had talked about this on the NFL Fantasy Live show. I had a tough decision to make between Isaiah Crowell and LeGarrette Blount in my mind, because I wanted to get a piece of that Philadelphia offense. Meanwhile, I know that Jacksonville's FPA versus running backs was pretty good. But I wasn't buying, man.
Yeah.
They've
changed.
I mean? I think they've changed. And plus, how many scoring opportunities was Cleveland really going to get against Jacksonville?
Well, Duke Johnson scored.
It's a side point.
From far away, but yes.
True. Side point, though, just on that note, like, this is a really important time to, like, be very wary of, like, season-to-date numbers. Because it's the same thing we're seeing, like, everybody talk, like, people on the broadcast, like, all the yards that the Patriots have given up or whatever. Like, no, that defense is a different unit now.
Oh, for sure.
And these things, like, things change in the NFL. Jacksonville was a team that was – and they still allow a high yards per carry on the season, but they're a different run defense now.
I agree. Adrian Peterson versus Houston. I wasn't sure how that was going to go, but 14 carries, 26 yards, obviously did not go very well. Again, Peterson has been a guy, if you're just following along, but Peterson had been a guy that had been really good in great matchups and really, really bad in bad matchups. I didn't know what to think about the Houston matchup, whether that was good or bad, because they've been
front had been pretty good at slowing down the running game, though. I think they kind of held Todd Gurley in check. Jadeveon Clowney is just wrecking fools on the offensive line, which is, like, sad, too, because you're like, could you imagine, like, we were
JJ
like,
Watt,
and with Merciless, we were like, man, that's going to be so great.
Man.
And now it's just all on him again, so.
The Eagles are, I mean, not the Eagles, the Texans are, like, just watching a tragic play, like, just fill out the rest of the year. Like, just, that's fine. Like, this is all very, everything about this is sad because it's not what it should be.
I hear that. All right, so let's talk about Doug Martin. What do you think here? Fifth straight game, 8 or less points.
Abandoned ship.
He's averaging 2.2 yards per carry over his last two games.
Yeah.
He has not looked great, obviously, the last two games.
Hasn't scored a touchdown since week 6. He's averaged over 4 yards per carry exactly once this year. And he hasn't crossed 75 yards rushing.
Like, oh!
It's bad. This offense isn't great. He's getting volume, but he can't even produce. So, I'm done. Yeah,
the volume's done there. Too. This was a matchup where he should have produced. The Dolphins were allowing the 8th most fantasy points per game to running backs. Over the last 2 weeks, they had given him 5 touchdowns to running backs, 2 to Marshawn Lynch, and then 3 last week to the Panthers.
Sure.
And I wrote Martin up in my FedEx Aaron Ground because I thought he was going to smash because he'd been getting the volume, and he just was a complete dud. And they're still rotating in 3 other backs behind him. Charles Sims, Jaquizz Rodgers, and Peyton Barber.
Peyton Barber, baby.
What's going on here?
Like, let's go.
I would rather roll the dice with Kenyon Drake, like, on any given
week. More upside, I would say.
Well, listen,
it takes one rush for Drake to outrush what Martin has done for
I hear what you're saying. Yeah, all right.
He's another example of the worst kind of fantasy back to own is because he's a 2-down banger on a trash offense. You know, we talked about that stat with Kareem Hunt earlier in terms of percentage of carries inside the 5-yard line.
Yeah.
Martin is behind Kareem Hunt for the 4th fewest, and he's caught 7 passes all year. He's not an asset in the pass game, so he has no floor. Get it? Well, no, he's done. We're done.
Martin's trash offense has won their last 2 games.
they're
with
still
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Ryan Fitzpatrick at the helm.
It's disgusting. I don't know what's going on.
Put some respect.
Put some speck on his name, man.
Eat a W.
All right. That is so disgusting, by the way. Please.
They eat in two Ws.
So garbage.
All right, let's move on.
A W-shaped donut?
Disappointment wide receivers. Golden Tate versus Chicago. Just 4 targets.
Cool.
Just 3 receptions.
Yeah, 32
yards.
That was kind of a shock.
I mean, wasn't it, though? You're like, 4
targets?
He'd
been so consistent for, like, what, 5, 6 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
I was very surprised by that.
On Thursday, he was like the only guy on the lines. I was like, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
We all were. Yeah. For sure. And then it was Marvin Jones who had the best game.
Yeah, give me that. Get out of my life.
So crazy. Stephon Diggs versus the Rams. He had 6 targets, 4 receptions, 32 yards. Jordy Nelson, 6 targets, 2 receptions, 24 yards. I'll ask you this, Alex Kelhart. Jordy has had 35 or less receiving yards in 5 of his last 6 games. Is he playable?
I thought we talked about this like weeks ago that you could drop him. I don't know why we're pouring salt into my wounds here, bringing up Jordy Nelson's struggles.
I didn't think he was a drop.
Down with your privilege.
Salt. You just said he's 35 or fewer yards in 5 of 6 games. How is that not a drop?
I believe he has 92 yards combined in all Brett Hundley's starts.
He's a drop.
Okay.
No, you can't start him.
Okay, fair enough. Tight end disappointments. Gronk versus Oakland.
That sucked.
This one hurt.
Sad. Yeah.
3 targets, 3 receptions, 36 yards in a game that Tom Brady went ballistic. But, I mean, he went other places, so there you go. Evan Engram, this one is just, I mean, shocking.
Yeah.
1 catch, 9 yards, 6 receptions. Sterling Shepard didn't play.
Out.
Yeah.
Sterling Shepard didn't play. How the hell did Evan Engram get 6 targets?
To be fair, that led the team.
Oh,
the Giants also did not have any receivers, pass catchers go over 60 yards in this game. So they couldn't really do anything through the air.
Man, 6 targets, 9 yards, not good. Let's talk about every damn game. Baltimore taking on Green Bay. Let's focus on that Baltimore side because, quite frankly, there's not a lot to talk about on the Green Bay side. Alex Kelhart, what do you got?
Well, the 2 things worth note of Green Bay real quick. Okay. Devontae Adams, again, 10 targets, 8 catches, 126 yards. He's the only playable asset in a pass-catching offense.
For sure.
And Jamal Williams saw a ton of volume. He had 18 carries for 57 yards. Not a great stat line. Baltimore is a good run defense, but the volume's going to be there in the future. For Baltimore, this offense is bad. It's bad. But there's a few playable assets. What sucked was in the passing game, we thought Jeremy Maclin had been cooking and was going to get going, but he got 5 targets. Mike Wallace had 4. Wallace got the touchdown. Danny Woodhead saw 6 targets, was the second most on the team. So certainly somebody to look at on the waiver wire, maybe pick up, especially in PPR leagues.
100%.
He only had 1 carry for 2 yards, but if he's getting his 5-6 catches a game.
If he gets healthier, man.
It'll be a good thing. And then Alex Collins ran really well. I think, like we said, the final stat line, 20 for 49, doesn't look that great, but he's a guy to play.
All right, Detroit taking on Chicago. Matt Franchise, what do you got?
We got a Tariq Cohen sighting, guys.
Yeah, what? What week is this? Week 2?
9 touches, 59 yards, and a touchdown. He now has
Fox Mulder.
He now has 2 touchdowns in his last 3 games. I think he played 49% of the snaps, which was I don't know if it was his highest all year, but highest in weeks. Meanwhile, Jordan Howard, 15 carries, 125 yards, and a touchdown. Kind of could predict Jordan Howard to go off against the Lions' run defense, which hasn't been good, but he has 15 carries now in each of his last 2 games after he was averaging like 20-plus.
Boom, boom, boom.
The month previous. So his volume has gone down while Mitchell Trubisky, they've kind of opened things up for him to throw more. So maybe they're not going to lean on Howard as much. They're rotating Cohen, and Benny Cunningham's getting some work too. So it's a weird situation there. You're still going to – Jordan Howard's RB1, but they play the Eagles next week, so it's a tough matchup for the
indeed
Chicago running backs. I don't want anything to do with Dontrell Inman.
There you go.
Fair enough.
Okay. Rams taking on Minnesota in Minnesota. Leading wide receiver Robert Woods left that game in a sling. He's got a shoulder injury. Matt Harmon, what else you got?
Disappointing loss for my Rams. disappointing loss for Robert Woods if he has to miss time. I mean, he's easily been their best receiver. I think that could mean good things for Sammy Watkins, though.
Cooper Kupp.
Get some targets. Yeah, so I think those guys would benefit, obviously, from a Woods injury. As we mentioned with Jared Goff, I mean, this game was very indicative of the fact that you just don't want to play him in against good
plus matchups. Yeah.
And on the Vikings side, I mean, they continue to roll on with Case Keenum. I think obviously a disappointing effort from Stephon Diggs, but Keenum only, I think his intended air yards on his pass attempts was the second fewest of starting quarterbacks in Week 11. So I think they just really weren't working downfield. And I mean, even Thielen's big play was like a long catch and run.
Yeah.
So I'm not like freaking out about anybody in this offense. I think it's a real good scoring unit, and we should continue to play everybody from them. I think both backs you can play.
Yeah.
You know, I think obviously Latavius Murray's the touchdown threat.
Right.
Jerick McKinnon still had 5 catches. So if you play him in PPR, I mean, that's not going to kill you.
Nope, not at all.
The Pates
taking on the Oakland
Maris.
Alex Gellhart, what do you got in Mexico City, pal?
Once upon a time, there was a hero who slayed the demon known as Bellatrix.
Indeed.
His name was Dion Lewis. Huh. Unfortunately, that hero went away, and the nightmarish hell beast known as Bellatrix rose once again. However, like any good story, Dion Lewis has returned to
vanquish
the beast for once.
He
once
has
and for
returned.
All. Seriously, though, Dion Lewis has been legit in fantasy the last couple weeks.
He's awesome.
Really good,
he's awesome.
Man.
And he's getting valuable carries. He's getting some work in the passing game now. He's scoring. He's an every week starter. You know who doesn't have a lot of every week starters? The Oakland Raiders. That offense is bad. As Harmon and I were talking about last night, one of your most reliable pieces is Jared Cook.
Jared Cook has been like their most. I mean, Michael Crabtree too, but Jared Cook's been their most consistent offensive player.
That's bad.
That's not good.
Like, you want Jared Cook to be a nice, like, oh man, yeah, we got Jared Cook. This can be a good Jared Cook game. Not like, Jared, please get us 70 to 100 yards, right, so we're not going to move.
We're really relying on you.
So this is a tough – I mean, the Pats defense is playing a lot better, but it's, unless it's extremely favorable matchups, it's going to be tough to trust a lot of these Oakland players.
Yeah.
And then enough hasn't been said about Brandon Cooks turning into, like, a super consistent player for the Patriots. Like, every week starter, the guy's getting good targets.
Dude.
He's getting good yardage.
You're right.
And this was a big blow-up game for him, which was kind of predictable because the Oakland secondary is so damn slow
for sure.
That you put a guy like Brandon Cooks against him. I mean, he had at least two catches over 50 yards in this game.
Belichick was talking him up after the game.
And Gronk had kind of a quiet game, but this is just one of those Patriots games where they're like, the secondary is incredibly slow. We're going to attack them with Brandon Cooks and everybody else, and that's what happened.
If you'd like to talk about privilege, and I always like to talk
Pats
about privilege.
Privilege?
If you want to talk about Patriots privilege, their closing schedule, Dolphins, Bills, Dolphins, Steelers, Dolphins, Jets.
Wait, you said Dolphins three times.
Sorry. Dolphins, Bills, Dolphins, Steelers, Bills, Jets.
Okay, got it.
What's the difference?
I don't.
What's
I
the difference
not.
Between the Dolphins and the Bills?
Some cupcakes.
A lot of cupcakes.
Those are all bad defenses. They're going to smash the rest of the way.
Right. Steelers.
All right, Washington taking on the New Orleans Saints in the Big Easy franchise. What do you got?
Well, we talked about the Washington backfield. Sad about Chris Thompson.
Yep.
J.P. Ryan.
Yep.
Vernon Davis, 67 yards. Doxson led the team with 81 yards. Jamison Crowder had another high-volume game. 7 targets, 72 yards. Was kind of predictable. The Saints had been giving up big games to slot wide receivers.
He's cleared, 70 yards in each of his last three games,
72
right?
or more in each of his last three games, and 13, 11, and 8 mm-hmm. targets. So he's becoming a reliable high-volume option
This is Jamison Crowder we expected to see in the start of the season.
100%.
That just disappeared for like 7 weeks.
Yeah. It's weird.
So there you go.
And then on the Saints side, Ingram and Kamara dominate. Breeze pop back up. Michael Thomas, 6 for 91. You know,
okay.
Safe floor every week.
Just back to his consistency. Yep.
Yeah.
KC taking on the Giants. Focus on the Giants side for me since we pounded KC into the dirt, Matt Harmon.
So about the Chiefs. No.
what is there to say about the Giants?
I mean, the Giants, what is there to say? Orleans Darkwa was a nice floor play because he's getting volume. The pass catchers without Sterling Shepard are a bit of a nightmare. This is kind of the first thing Roger Lewis has done all year, and I'll be
free. He had
free.
A sick
It was a great catch, but I'll be free to ignore it.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. Bucks taking on Miami in Miami. Jay Cutler concussed in that game. Matt Moore came in relief. He played okay. Alex Gilhar, your takeaways.
I mean, Mike Evans came back and had a decent game. I'm getting a little concerned about Cameron Brait. He's losing
with
more.
Fitzpatrick.
He's losing more. The Harvard connection should be working out, but it's not. He's been losing a little more work of late to O.J. Howard, who continually finds himself wide open against opposing secondaries. I don't know how it happens every week, but it does. And then, I mean, the Dolphins side, we know what this offense is. The backfield's completely hit or miss. You're hoping for a big play or a touchdown. This week it was Damian Williams who had it. Jarvis Landry has been super consistent. I think he set a career high in receiving touchdowns.
Yes,
now.
Yes.
Six
now, which is
six.
A career high, yes.
And this was a big stills game. Parker will probably have more big games going down the stretch. I don't know what else is
I threw out a trivia question. I didn't know how many yards Jarvis Landry had. I knew he had like 70 receptions, and I thought maybe he had like, I don't know, like 500 or 600 yards coming in, and I was actually shocked by how low that yardage total was. It was, what was it? It was sub 500, right?
Yeah, 472.
472. Oh,
coming in to week 11.
He 70 on 70 receptions?
Yeah, he currently
That's amazing.
567 on 67 catches. By the way, Adam Gase said that whenever Jay Cutler returns healthy, there's no reason to think he won't be my quarterback.
No reason.
I can think of a few reasons.
I can think of many reasons.
Adam Gase, by the way, right at the top of my, as I was listening off to Alex last night,
yeah.
the –
my sick of him list. Sick of Adam Gase.
Yeah.
I want him gone. What? I'm done. I'm done with Adam
Already?
Gase.
Already? I mean, it's been two seasons.
Yeah. I'm way done with Gase.
They had so many sideline shots in that game where Gase just had the face like, wow, this is going terrible, but none of it's my fault.
Yeah, well, I mean, I am completely
absolved of any blame in this situation.
Like, I'm sorry, you're supposed to be an offensive guru, and your offense is the worst thing I've ever seen.
Well, yeah, Cutler threw for like 83 yards and three picks in the first half.
He was trying to out Peterman.
And then Matt Moore comes in and throws for 282 yards in two quarters.
Yeah.
Jay Cutler's thrown for over 282 yards once in an entire game all season. Matt Moore did it in two quarters.
And here's the thing. And you can't put like, well, you got to give Adam Gase a pass because he has Jay Cutler as his quarterback and Jay Cutler's underperforming because that's – your fault that's there, Adam Gase. That's your fault that Jay Cutler's
there.
Yeah, bro. You pulled him out of the booth.
You pulled him out of the booth.
You could have just rode with Moore the whole time.
Could have rode with Moore, could have signed another veteran, anything like that.
Could have signed Nathan Peterman.
Well.
Arizona taking on Houston franchise. What do you got?
Larry Fitzgerald, doesn't matter who this guy's quarterback is. He mashes, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Nine catches, 10 targets, 91 yards, and a touchdown.
Talk about
doesn't matter.
Talk about Larry Fitzgerald, great wide receivers. A nuke, man. Just
that's what I'm saying. You know what
I mean? I could go out there and each of them would get like nine catches for 100 yards.
Real. As long as you throw at them 15 times.
And I think late last week news broke that Larry extended a one-year contract. So he'll be back next year, guys.
That's amazing.
Unbelievable. Then on the Houston side of the ball, Bruce Ellington, Harmon's guy.
Six for 60-something, Pro Bowl.
Led the team with six receptions, 63 yards. Hopkins had nine targets, 76 yards and a touch. Lamar Miller caught a touchdown pass. He'll probably see all the volume with Dante Foreman out.
Let's go. Sunday Night Football, Philadelphia taking on Dallas. We've broken down Dallas quite a bit, but if you could focus on the Philadelphia side, please.
Maris.
Maris.
I don't know that we've spent enough time breaking down the name of the current Cowboys starting running.
I think that's Alfred Maris.
Maris? No, it's Maris. On the real, though, I don't know that I really appreciate you telling me what I should focus on.
It says please. You don't have to. It says please.
Anyways, so on the Eagles side, the backfield was definitely a total split, and I don't know that we have any reason to think until we see it happen that Jay Ajayi is going to suddenly just take this place over. He had seven carries, did rip off a nice 71-yard run, so he obviously, and this is the second week in a row, he's ripped off a big play. So you can play Jay Ajayi, but just know that Blunt's got 13 carries. Corey Clement's out there, 650 and a touch.
I was surprised by the Corey Clement usage, actually. Because
how about the Kenyon Barnett touchdown?
Oh, my God.
I love it. I know people hate that I do this, but I really enjoy it. That's like my new favorite bit. I'm happy for Kenyon Barnett.
No. Let me say this. Doug Peterson, I think that's a great coaching move. It really is.
Yeah.
Because he got him all the way down there, and instead of going to Blunt or Ajayi or whatever it might be, he said, young fella, go get me that.
That was an awesome catch.
Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah.
That was really cool. So I think that was a good coaching move.
Yeah. Good for them. And in the passing game, I mean, it was kind of a lot of what we've seen. Alshon Jeffrey is starting to really get cooking.
100%.
So, like, you can argue whether that touchdown was a touchdown or whatever last night, but, I mean, he has 7, 11, 8, 6, 10 targets his last five games.
Yep.
And
he's coming around.
He has four touchdowns in the last three. So, I mean, things are really starting to turn around.
And he came into this with an ankle injury. He was, not – expected, you know, questionable coming into this game.
All right, Jags, Browns, I'll skip. Bills, Bills, Chargers, I think we've talked about extensively, and Cincinnati, Denver.
They played?
It was the middle of watching that game, and just like in the fourth quarter, I'm like, I don't think I'll be watching this one.
I don't think I'll be watching this one again this week.
Like, I don't think there's anything I need to see in this game that matters.
Yeah. Nope. There you go. So let's do daily daps.
Daps.
Alex Gelhar, get us started.
All right, I got a couple things. First, I want to dap. Shut up.
The cinema.
Amidst all the Tyrod Taylor lunacy, Mina Kimes wrote a great piece like 2 weeks ago called The Great Debate About Tyrod Taylor.
Oh, okay. Ooh.
I actually finally read it last night because some people were resurfacing it, and then I tweeted it out this morning. Really good read.
What's the crux of it?
Well, it's the Tyrod Taylor debate about how, like, even 2 weeks ago, despite all that Tyrod Taylor had done for Buffalo, like, people were like, yeah, but he's not that good. Like, you know, them in the fans and stuff and the coaching staff's moves. But, like, there were great quotes in there about the players defending him, though, and, like, Shady McCoy. And it was kind of funny to read the article and look back at that game and like Shady's reaction once Tyrod was back in and stuff and how they played. And it's just a really good piece and how about how he's such an enigmatic quarterback. And it's like in all the struggles they've had with him, because it's like, yeah, sure, his record is 19-16 as a starter or whatever, and he has some – nobody's saying he's a top-five quarterback, but also it's like that franchise has never put anything around him or done anything to suit his skills, and it's just – it was a really good look at it, which is a player we all hold near and dear to our fantasy hearts.
Like,
but
for me, Tyrod Taylor and Kirk Cousins just so disrespected in this league for absolutely no
and
reason.
And it just made me read it. It made me appreciate Tyrod. Mina Kimes is a great writer, and it was also just like, man, I hope Tyrod gets a chance to be a starter again next year.
Oh, yeah.
Also, I'm only about halfway through this. Actually, probably not even halfway, but The Hollywood Reporter did an oral history on Mr. Plow, which I think aired 25 years ago.
Okay.
The Simpsons episode.
Oh.
Come on, it's one of the best. Like
I know that one.
It's like a top five, top three Simpsons episode
ever. I know
ever.
That one.
It's
so
good. So they did an oral history about like the whole the Inception episode and getting it and stuff like that. And I was just starting to read it. And it was really interesting because,
cool.
Back in that time, Conan O'Brien was writing on The Simpsons. And they had Adam West guest star, and it was in the early portions of The Simpsons. I mean, it was, like I said, it was like 25 years ago.
Yeah.
But that was really interesting. And then last Daily Dap goes out to Malcolm Young, the rhythm guitarist from AC/DC, passed away over the weekend. Mm. And love or hate AC/DC, that guy, like rhythm guitar is like the most underrated. It's like offensive guard in football. It's the most underrated
fullback
part of any band. But like, there is probably no more famous rhythm guitarist than Malcolm Young, because he made, and AC/DC in general got so much mileage out of so few chords.
Yeah.
But, like, there are so many iconic riffs that he created out of exactly A-D-G, and occasionally some E as well. But, like, they are, we said E,
every
I'm losing my mind. But
every now and again,
he was awesome. And I was
E
like,
minor?
When he passed away, I was at home and I put up Spotify and I pulled up AC/DC and just hit shuffle. And I was like, man. Like, they just had some jams and were such a great rock band. And it's sad to have him go. But
there you go.
Appreciate him and all he did for rock music.
I like it. I will daily dap Tyrod Taylor and really daily dap Nathan Peterman for imploding. Thank you.
For your bold prediction.
Dude, by the way, Matt Harmon, holy hell, your tweet has just gone crazy.
Yeah, really, thank you for letting me ride your coattails to Twitter fame.
Your Twitter fame
old
is,
takes
bro?
Exposed.
Yeah, Old Takes Exposed got in on it, too.
Oh, my God, let me take a look now.
443 retweets, 1,413 likes.
That's got to be up there, or if not the most, or up there in terms of, like, engagement for you?
Richard Sherman one from a couple years ago.
That was a couple of years ago.
That was a good one.
But yeah, amazing. that had like 1,500.
I mean, Kobe, you called the biggest meltdown of
that's
a decade.
But no, like,
seriously,
as we talked about, you swished like every part of
it. Yeah,
that was weird.
In terms of impressions, I'm looking at the numbers.
Oh,
right?
You're looking at them. Oh, why hell yeah.
In terms of impressions, that is fourth right now for me.
In history?
Over the last, I think, month.
12 months.
Last 28 days.
Okay.
Fourth?
I'm real popular. No, actually, Carson Wentz is real popular. My top two ones are both about Carson Wentz.
Okay.
And that's just like Eagles fans will just take that and run wild on Twitter with it.
The Wentz hive is passionate.
Yeah, drop it. Just dropping it on people left and right.
That's great. I will undap the hot chip challenge or the one chip challenge that I had to do on Sunday. Oh, my Lord. That one, it was painful.
You toughed it out, man.
I tried. Yeah, it was. I heard there was a big buzz in the newsroom.
I would have been really upset at Akbar if he held the milk away as long as he did.
That was rough.
That was mean.
That was really not necessary.
I got a lot of that on Twitter, like, bro, what is Akbar doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was funny though to me because I wasn't I actually wasn't that upset about it because he and I are actually friends, you know what I mean? And so like
prove it.
I know he would. And the other thing about Akbar too is like he would never do anything mean spirited.
He was just doing it for entertainment value.
Yes, he was doing it for entertainment
it was
value,
for TV.
But it came off as being
I was like,
a bully,
Akbar,
right?
Give him the milk, he's dying. The best part though was you were like, I'm good. Let's go. Roll the teleprompter. And then 3 minutes later, you were like in the corner chugging milk.
It was so bad. The thing about the hot chip challenge, I got so – there's so much pain involved. my when I left the stage at the end of the show, my legs were wobbly.
Wow.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And I told you guys this too, but the worst part about it was that for about 4 hours after, I was burping up chocolate milk flavored ghost Carolina Reaper chip.
That's gross.
Flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah, nasty.
It was awful. So undaps to the one chip challenge. All right, franchise, what do you got?
I'm gonna daily daps our social media team for helping us recreate this GIF.
Oh yeah.
Rap battle GIF.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Gilhard dropped it yesterday from the NFL fantasy handle.
Beautiful. Yeah, I did.
And it came out amazing.
I dropped it in regards to Blaine Gabbert.
No, yeah, yeah. The feeling when you said screw the haters and stream Blaine Gabbert on your fantasy squad, and like Marcus is like the guy who like
smart.
Just dropped the rap, and like I'm
it was great. It was
everyone's
done.
Freaking out. It was well created.
Yeah,
and then
I'm
also gonna daily dap a show I've been watching called Broad City on Hulu.
Broad City, baby.
It's a Comedy Central show. It's about two girls who live in Brooklyn, and like I lived in New York City for a few years, so
a little near and dear to you.
Yeah. Some of the humor is like maybe you might not really get the jokes unless you actually live in New York City. But it's hilarious.
Okay.
I think it's 3 seasons. They're only half an hour episodes, so you can crush
it. I haven't watched the most recent season, but I've watched some in the past, and it's a very funny show.
So funny.
Matt Harmon, what do you got?
I'm a daily dap. All of the great places I've now been going to around Palms now that I've moved, including most recently the King Donut across the street.
Ooh. King Donut is the best.
Very good donuts there.
King Donut
I can
very
confirm
good.
That is. So I'm enjoying...
Your shrinking bubble.
Yes, my shrinking bubble. I don't go anywhere that's not 2 miles from my apartment. So
daily daps. Is this a daily daps to yourself again?
Yeah. No, jackass.
He I think so.
The places around me.
I think so, yeah.
I think it is.
Yeah, they didn't pop up. Like, I didn't build them, you freaking moron.
Not my narrative.
Producer Chris, what do you got for us, pal?
You know what, man? I'm going to dap our vets because I was at the game yesterday. Donnie Edwards, former Chargers linebacker, does awesome work with our vets, and there were 11 World War II vets at the game.
Okay.
And it was just so awesome to see them at the game and so excited to be there. And Casey Hayward had 2 interceptions yesterday. He actually gave one of his interception balls to one of the vets after the game, signed the ball for him, and it was just cool to see that whole dynamic, man. It was just, you know, props to our vets, the real heroes.
Right, there
cool.
you go. All right, closing out the show on a positive note.
Yes.
I love it.
Salute to service.
There you go. That's
salute
the show, baby. Let's run it.
Maris.
It is.
Maris.
It's Alfred Maris.
Maris.
I'm James Coe. Matt Franchise. Matt Harmon. Alex Gilhar. And producer Chris, and of course, Alfred Maris.
Maris.
Thanks for listening. We'll catch you Thursday.
Maris.
See you later.